Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Starting a new series this week because of you. We're talking about the purpose of God in your life, what He means, what He wants to do in your life, what He wants to do in your world, what He wants to do through you. You know, so much of what you see in this church, I know it's by the grace of God and God has done an amazing thing in our lives. But guys, can I tell you this, is that it doesn't happen without people yielding to God. In fact, the Bible says this about Jesus. It said that the head of the church can't say to the body, I don't need you. Do you know that the fact of it is that God needs you to be able to take the place and do what He's called you to do? Because it's because of you that these things happen as you yield to God. You know, in the last just 7 years or so, we've seen thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. Marriages put back together, lives changed. Sometimes when you hear thousands and thousands and thousands, it kind of gets a blur to you until you kind of put it down to a real life. Somebody, whether it's your life, and I think all of us have experienced that and got, by God's grace. But this past week, I was in Tulsa. After last Sunday service, I had to leave right away to I had an afternoon flight, and I was speaking at the Bible school I went to as a guest lecturer through the week, Monday through Friday. My son is also in Tulsa, so that made it a lot more fun. And so I've done that before, but this time it was a real kick as my son's down there. And then, as it turned out, my daughter had to fly down that very week. Was the interview for her to get a potential scholarship if she goes there. Jesus. Never congratulate a kid when they get a scholarship. Congratulate their father and mother. And so anyway, so Wednesday night I said to Ryan, I said, hey, Ryan, why don't you, get some of your friends and I'll take you guys to dinner. Tell me where you want to go. And so he said, well, we'd like to go, Red Robin. And I said, all right, you have to give me a call this afternoon. Let me know the number because just to make sure they have enough for us that'll be coming. So I said, Rye calls me. He said, so how many kids are coming? He said, 14. I said, okay, well, there you go. Second mortgage at Red Robin. So Thursday night, I took all of the students that are at Oral Roberts University, Rhema Bible College, Victory Bible Institute, that are down in Tulsa from our church. I gathered them all together, and I took them to Carrabba's. Because you know the fact of it is, when you're in college, you never get good food. Even if you live in an apartment, you're eating lousy food. And so I thought it would be nice to take them, get them a real meal, let them, get a real dessert and food, So we're just meeting together, and I had the opportunity to actually get a chance to talk to some of the students. I knew them, I've spoken to them, but I've never really had the opportunity to be able to get to know them. And so I talked to, just sitting with them one-on-one. Isn't that the best sound in the world? what's funny is that when you're the parent, you're thinking, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. And every one of us in the room are just going, that's so cute. It's so awesome. It's just so awesome, except thank you, Jesus. That's my grandparent day coming. Thank you, God. Not too soon, but thank you, Jesus. And so I'm sitting, and I'm two of the kids there, I'm sorry, young students, Amanda and Jordan Talon. And I just, casually said, Jordan, tell me, how did you get saved? And he said, my cousin goes to Victory. She invited me to come to 19 North, which is our 20-something service. And he said, I came broken and God saved me and my life got turned around. I said, Amanda, what about you? And she is the most beautiful, adorable, just petite little girl and sweet. And just you would never dream of the brokenness that she came out of. And she said, well, when I was in Slippery Rock, a friend of mine invited me to Victory. And my first response, wanted me to come to this 20-something service. And my first response was like, I'm not doing the church thing. She said, I was really into going to raves. How many of you know what a rave is? How many of you have never heard of one or don't know what they are? How many of you know what Woodstock was? Okay, those of you who don't know what raves are, what Woodstock? Think Woodstock without all the great bands, but all the drugs. And a rave basically is a place where it's just where you can get a plethora of drugs. And they play techno music. Now, They let me listen to techno music. And I don't know whether this generation thinks that techno music is new. I'm telling you, man, it is disco music. I heard it and I almost started going. And she said, I was going to these raves and my life was basically in a spiral. And I was doing, and she named all kind of drugs that she was involving herself in. And of course, all the brokenness that comes with that lifestyle. She said, so I really just came to come. And I'm paraphrasing for her. She basically, I don't think had any, really, she said that the rave scene, basically, God is not like real popular in that scene. And neither are people that go to church. So she said, I'll go to this 19 North thing. She came here and she said, God literally shook her life. The gospel, see, God loves people. And all the kids at the rave, they're searching for something. And what they're finding is devastating and breaking their lives. And Jesus died for those precious kids. But when she came here, she found the goodness of God, the grace of God. And Jesus, she received the Lord. She said, it turned my life around. She said, it took me time to kind of evacuate myself from that circle of friends that I'd become so destructive with. She said, now, she goes, I'm born again. I know the Word of God. I'm full of God's Word. I'm filled with the Spirit. I found my husband here, and we are in Bible school together. We have a call of God on our life. Isn't that amazing? Because of you, that happened in her life. You see, our 20-something service, 8:30 on Saturday nights, it's called 19 North. Now, the 20-somethings in this church are incredible people. The future is safe in their hands. They are incredible people. But let me tell you what I do know about 20-somethings. For the most part, they don't have any money. That's not like a secret, is it? And so they can't support their service. They can't pay the salaries of the people that we have to manage and run those operations. They can't fund all the stuff we buy. And so out of our budget goes to a group of young people that can't, in a sense, pay for it. Because of you caring more about people than silly money, because you caring about the next generation, that young couple, instead of them having broken lives, just think of what their children will now experience that the children they would have had never would have. Think of the heartache you stopped. That's just one life. That's been multiplied thousands of times over. Look at John chapter 8, verse 1. And this is a story of Jesus. It's one of my favorite stories of his ministry. In John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 of John 8. And Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back at the temple, again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman they had caught in the act of adultery, and they had put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her, but what do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, stone her. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stones. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd alone with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said to her, well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. One of the most powerful stories of the redemption that's in the heart of God for people. Here's a woman who went to bed that night in a bed of adultery. We don't know if she was a prostitute. We don't know the story of her life. All we do know is that there's no man. And usually, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but adultery usually happens with two people. But this is probably some religious setup where, can you imagine being a religious leader telling a guy to go have sex with a prostitute who's married so you can accuse the prostitute of adultery to trap Jesus? How wicked religion can be. But nonetheless, we don't know her story. But what I do know is that when you commit adultery, you're typically not dressed. Is that safe? Okay, look. we're going to have to get real if we're going to come to church together, okay? Okay, if we're going to come together here, most people don't commit adultery clothed. Okay, thank you. Man, I'm just thinking, do I need to go into greater depth here? I don't know. The point I'm making is they take her out of a bed of adultery and they throw her in front of the crowd. Now, I know she may be clothed in some way, but she's not clothed appropriately. She certainly doesn't want to be there. And they're basically accusing her and using her. Yeah, if she dies, who cares? We'll get some dirt on this guy. We can get him arrested. You know the story. We just read it. But isn't it interesting at the end, Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, where are the people that accused you?" She said, "They're gone, Lord. There's not one left." He said, "Well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." I want you to understand something about this woman. She never asked for forgiveness. She didn't come there for forgiveness. We don't even know if she knew who Jesus was. All I know is she had to be petrified. She had to be terrified. Instead of Jesus looking at her sin, he looked at the woman. He said, "I'm not here. I didn't come to condemn you. I've come to liberate people." He said, and then he told her, "Go and sin no more." There was something about the love and acceptance that he brought that empowered her to leave that place changed. And he spoke to the religious people that accused her. Because of you guys, this church is an environment where no one is ever put in front of the crowd. That's how people think of God all the time. That I'm going to be put in front of the crowd. I'm going to be embarrassed. That I'm going to be made to feel less than. And sometimes in church, that's what people think. If I go to church, I've had people come to me and say, "Hey man, the walls didn't cave in." I go, "What do you mean?" They go, "I showed up and the walls are still up. Can you believe it?" And what they're saying is, "I don't belong here. I don't belong in a church. My life's too messed up. Or I'm just not one of those kind of people." And so, and if I do show up, and if my life ever did get exposed, you'd throw me in front of the crowd and you'd make me feel as lousy as I really feel or I really am. And Jesus didn't do that. And because of you, this church is not a church that throws people in front of the crowd. This is not a church that sees through people, but sees them through because of you. It doesn't matter how much I preach and teach about the goodness, the love, and the mercy of God, and the grace of God that takes broken people and lifts them. If you don't treat people that way and haven't treated people that way, this would not be a place where people would come and expect to be loved and accepted. This is a place where people are being won to Christ constantly. This is a place where, because of you, that there's an atmosphere of love and acceptance that's been created. You've chosen to yield to God in that regard. Because of you, Victory Family Church is an emergency room. It's a hospital where broken and hurting people can come. And they can be delivered from the religious museums. This is a come-as-you-are church. So, "Well, Pastor, you don't dress appropriately for a pastor." This is how I dress. I don't want to dress appropriately. I want to dress how I dress, just like everyone else does who comes to church. If you want to dress a certain way, we don't care. Come as you are. You can come here in a tuxedo. Fine. But I don't want guys to have to go shopping to go to church. Because number one, they don't want to go to church. Number two, they don't want to go shopping. So I like to dress up. Well, dress up. Look, you don't understand. If it wasn't for Michelle, you can't imagine what it'd look like. This is as good as it's going to get. Because what's the mindset? When I come to church, something has to be different about me. I don't want, no offense to ties, but whoever came up with ties, what was wrong with you? It's just unnatural to do this. And then tie something around your neck and squeeze it. Now, I'll wear them when I have to at the proper events. So, "Well, church is a proper event." Not here. This is a hospital and emergency room. You ever been in the emergency room? People go in there butt naked. When they're in trouble, buddy, they show up in that room just as they are. I want this to be a place. It's a just as you are. Whatever you need, you show up and God will meet you and we'll meet you. Amen? Just get here. Because of you, in just the last 7 years, over 9,000 people have given their life to Christ in this room. 9,000 people. It's remarkable. 9,000 people have heard Jesus say in their heart, "I don't condemn you anymore. You're not condemned. You're saved. You're rescued. You're redeemed. Because of you, in June, we're going to move into a 2,400-seat auditorium. And we are going to see somewhere around, by the time we get there, close to 10,000 people saved in this building. Guys, we're going to see tens of thousands of people come to Christ in the next 10 years in that building. It is going to be incredible. It's going to be, guys, there are people in heaven today that were in heaven before this church started 20 years ago that were on their knees for years praying that God would do something like this in this area. And they're in heaven right now. And I've met the people who said, I had an uncle, an aunt, a grandmother, they were praying for this. And when our church first started, there were people that came that were much older. And in our 20-year history, they've gone on to be with the Lord. And they said to me, Pastor, I want you to know for years I've been praying for this church to come. There are people that gave and served, and because of them, you and I have seats to sit in today. We have a building, and they're not even here. They're with Christ. But they saw you, and because of them, you're here. And because of you, those people who yet have nothing but questions, nothing but heartache, and soon to have those answers met in numbers that are going to just be awesome because of you. It matters. And because of you, we are going to be prepared to keep those people. Because of you, we're going to be prepared to care for those people, to meet them in the parking lot, and to do everything we need to do. Because of you, this is going to be a church that will not only be an oasis of love that it's become, but it's going to become an oasis of love times 50. And that's why people constantly come to me and say, when I walk into that place, it just feels different. It feels different because of the mercy and grace of God and because of you. I want you to take a look at just a brief video we put together of a recap. When we did a water baptism a while back, over 400 people were water baptized that weekend. Over 100 plus of them spontaneously just got up and went and got water baptized. Some of them came to watch their kids get water baptized just to honor their children. And they came into this place, didn't even know Jesus, gave their life to Jesus, went and got dressed and got water baptized with their kids. And you're going to see in the right over here was a big pool. In the video, you're going to see whole families getting water baptized together. And I'll tell you, those are some of the best family pictures you ever see in your life. And it happened because hundreds and hundreds of people decided to be able to serve and to give their life for something bigger than themselves and created an atmosphere where something like that, something amazing like that can happen. Take a brief look at it. You know, the fact of it is, I don't have a religion. I have a Savior. Religion can't make you right with God. And when Jesus hung on the altar of that cross, He paid the penalty for the sin He did not commit. He paid my debt and your debt. Count to three. When I get to three, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold enough to step up and say, I'm going to be baptized. One, two, three. That was awesome, wasn't it? You know, Ephesians 4 tells us this, verse 16. From him, referring to Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So you're a part of the body of Christ. I want to encourage you to get out of the stands and get on the field, to get into the spot God called you to be. Don't ever use this terminology, and I want to make sure we kind of eradicate this even from our vernacular. I volunteer at the church. You're not a volunteer. You are a part of the body of Christ, a member, the head of the church placed you. See, my elbow this morning is not volunteering. It's in the body. Volunteering kind of gives the indication it's got an option. And if it exercises the option, my left arm's in trouble. And much of why the church is in trouble today is because God's people are in the stands instead of recognizing and discovering their part in the body of Christ. You were made to make a difference with your life. Because of you, a service like that happened, families touched, lives changed. You know, it's incredibly important. You know, last Easter weekend, over 1,000 people gave their life to Jesus in one weekend here. Guys, that's incredible. And you know that when we do extravaganza the Easter weekend, in fact, on your seats, you'll see this. Do you know what we try to do for 2 days, Friday and Saturday? All the details are there. And I'm asking you, if there's any way possible, because we need hundreds of people to be a part of the body and to go make a difference. There are a lot of people already signed up, but let's have more than we need. Let's have everybody. I mean, I've had township officials that came here pull me aside and say, John, how can the church afford a staff that large? I go, they aren't staff, they're our church. They go, you mean people that work that effectively are not a part of your staff? I said, no. They said, man, they're incredible. And they are. It is one of the most amazing events. I don't know, last year, I know we had plus 5,000, 6,000 people show up in 2 days to hunt 100,000 Easter eggs. It's a blast. Now, if you're a rookie, I promise you this. We won't put you in egg security. Because egg security, a rookie will get hurt, all right? Because when you wrap those kids around and you let go of 400 or 500 kids and they start hitting the... Don't be in the way. It's like a football game. We keep an ambulance right on the site for egg security in case they get run over by the kids. And you know what? After when it's over on Saturday, we're going to turn that thing right around and have a 5:30 and a 7:30 service on Saturday night instead of our normal 6 so we can accommodate more people. So we have to turn the whole thing around. And when you see what we have on campus, to flip that around, it takes many hands. And I want to encourage you to be one of those hands. Don't pray about it. If you're free Friday or Saturday, Good Friday, and then Saturday, all the details are in here. Sign up and let's go do this together. Let's have more than enough people. If you've never been to one, it is incredible to see thousands of people here. And I get the biggest kick out of little kids who have everything in the world beating on each other to get a plastic egg with garbage candy in it that they probably don't even want to eat. But it's just a thought. I'm going to get me as many eggs as I can get. And it is an absolute blast. So I want to encourage you, don't miss that. Also, Easter weekend. It's a great weekend to bring someone to church. It's a great weekend to invite somebody that's hurting or broken or doesn't know Christ. Look, the devil's tempted to come to church on Easter. You know, the C&E stuff, Christmas and Easter. It's a great time to invite people. We're making it very easy for you to do it. On your way out today in the vestibule, I don't like the word. We have to come up with a new word for that room between this room and the next room. Even church, you have a little hallway room. They make a name like vestibule. Like, who does that? We have a table in the vestibule next to the narthex. Like, who called? It's just church. We even give bad names. We even call the seats pew. It's because people have sat in them so long, they smell. Get off your blessed assurance. Let's go do something great for God. Man, we're making it easy. You can pick up an invite, give it to people. You can go on our website, click on the banner that says Easter, and it'll open up this to you, and you can click on it, and you can do an Evite. I just like saying it. It sounds, I'm current. It's an email. You can send it up to 10 recipients and put a personal note, and it'll give them all the details of the Easter service weekend. You can click on the Facebook icon, and you can post it on your Facebook page. You can even tweet. How many of you are tweeterers? Now, I want to read this as it is, because we're going to let you, our Twitter page, listen, we have a pre-populated tweet, including a link to our Easter page. I have no idea what a pre-populated tweet is, but I know it sounds awesome. How many of you know what a pre-populated tweet is? Yeah, okay, I don't feel bad either. I have no clue. All I know is that if you're a tweeterer and you click the tweet button, you're going to do something pre-populated. The people that follow you on a Twitterer, okay? Tweety Bird, whatever. Just invite somebody. Go for it. Four services, 5:30, 7:30, 9:30, 11:15. And guys, I'm trusting God to see 1,000 people plus again this Easter weekend come to Jesus. And how about next year? Woo, baby. We're gonna rock that thing full. At least we'll shoot to fill that four times. And we're going to see, we're not going to shoot for 1,000 next year. Let's shoot for 3. Man, how about it? Let's go get our world. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says this. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part. Say it out loud. I'm a necessary part. And so together we can do something great for God. So get out of the stands, get onto the field. Now, also because of you, we've looked, and I mean, I've spent 4 years diligently processing a way to do church more and more efficiently to help you fulfill the purpose of God for your life, to help you to grow up spiritually, to help you to be able to experience God in everyday life. And so we're making some significant improvements, and that's another way to say changes. And we'll give you all the details as we go down the line, but two of them that I'll talk to you about today. One I'm just going to mention. Starting this fall, we are going to launch small groups. And it's not the typical small group program, and I spent a lot of years putting this together, time, and I feel like we have something that fits our purpose. And we're going to open up. It's going to be a major part of our church ongoing. And I'll explain to you all the details down the road, and we'll get into the small groups that we'll launch in this fall. The second thing is we want to kind of make the ability to process through our church simple. And it's kind of, it's not that it's convoluted, it's just difficult. And we want to make it simple. And so we're revamping the way we process you from when you walk through the door to when you serve and get involved. And we're calling it Growth Track. And it's really simple. 101, 201, 301, 401. It's that simple. And every Sunday night, the first Sunday night of the month is 101. Second Sunday night of the month, 201. And onwards, 3 and 4. So any month, you look first, second, third, fourth Sunday night, you know exactly when it is. And we're going to have these four things. 101 is simply this. 101 is the first Sunday night of every month, we will provide a meal and childcare. Guys, look, that's like a date. And if it isn't a date, look, anywhere you can go and sit down together and eat and your kids are being watched, pretend it's a date. 101 is more like, it's where you learn about membership here, where you kind of can kick the tires and see if this is where you want to be and learn about the church and even become a member. And so 201 is where you learn essentials. It's where you're going to come and you're going to learn the habits to help you grow spiritually. How do I read my Bible? How do I pray? Just the simple kind of things that will give you the tools to be able to walk with Christ. 301 is when you come together and you're assessed. 301 is when you discover your gifts, personality test, and different things to assess what's in you already that God put there. And 401 is our dream team. That's when you come together after you've gone through 101, 201, 301. And by the way, if you don't want to go in order, you don't even have to go in order to these. And if you're a member of our church, you don't have to, if you're serving, you don't have to go through this. But I'm asking everyone who would willingly do so, just so you can communicate what it is well, it would be great if you would. But if you're already a member, you don't have to go through 101 or 201. But even if you're serving, go through 301, because I want to make sure you have discovered really where you fit. 4:01 is going to be the fourth Sunday night of every month, and it's going to be an orientation. You'll meet together, and then every ministry in the church will be represented through an orientation. You can go meet with, and you can learn about any ministry, and some of them you can get plugged in by the next weekend. Some of them, like worship, is a process, and there's tryouts and all that. Children's ministry, of course, you have background checks. So some things will have a delay to it, but we'll get you plugged in as quickly as possible because we want you to discover who you are. You're going to hear me say this a lot through the years, but there are four basic things that need to be happening in your life. Four. If you're going to be a part of this church, if you're going to be growing spiritually, if you're going to fulfill the purpose of God for your life as an individual and as a church corporate. And the first is this. Come to weekend services and use them as a tool of evangelism. We work very hard to create an atmosphere on Sunday mornings where people who don't know Christ feel the ability to come to Him. Every time I prepare, I want you to know that I have in mind people that don't know Jesus. They're on my heart. And every word I say, I think about them. Even if I'm teaching you a lesson, I'm thinking, what does this sound like to me if I don't know what's going on in this room? And we, I believe, have been successful by the grace of God in creating an atmosphere where you can feel safe bringing people that don't know Jesus. So I want to encourage you, the number one thing, be here on weekends and bring people with you and watch them get saved by the grace of God. Number two, I want you to go through the growth track. 101, 201, 301, 401. Number three, become a part of a small group. We're going to explain more of that in detail. It's exciting. It's going to be, it's not what you might think. It's going to have a lot of opportunity to it. And it's going to be, and it is a very important part of how we intend to move forward as a church. And then fourthly, I want you to come to a place where you discover your gifts, you discover your place, and you get busy serving for God. You know, there are two types of people in church typically. There's the attender and the member. The attender is the guy or the lady in the stands. The member typically is the guy on the field, the lady on the field that gets their uniform dirty. Now let me say this. I'm absolutely thrilled to have people here that are sitting in the stands. I mean that. Because a lot of times people are coming here. One, you're just kind of kicking the tires to find out, is this where I belong? But for a lot of people, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to give and a time to receive. Sometimes when people come to this church, they're not ready to give out. They've got to sit down and be healed up. And sometimes, for some people, it's been a couple years. I mean, people come sometimes and they're so broken. They say, Pastor John, I can barely get in the building. I don't know that I can even do anything right now. I just need help. I'm thrilled that you get that help. And you stay in the stands until you have that strength to be able to make that first step and start serving others. But guys, there's going to come a point for every one of us that I want you to get out of the attender stage. I want you to get out of the place of just being an observer, being a consumer. And I want you to get onto the court. I want you to move into the membership phase. And I want you to get out there where you're using your gifts and your talents, where the stories of life change are happening because you put your hand to the issue. And I want you to understand that it matters if you do that. Again, as I said, I'm thrilled that you're in the stands. And you're welcome to be an attender here. But if you're going to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, at some point you've got to get out of the stands. You've got to get onto the field. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, if we're going to be positioned for the thousands of people that will come to Christ, and this is where the small groups are going to come in as well, and I'll give you more details as we get along, where many of you have so much in you, they're going to get to be able to be used of God and to be able to have this flow out of your life. There are some incredible things going to be happening. And I want to encourage you that when we are 10 years down the road, guys, and we can say because of you, you all will remember looking back to the days when we were just a small church of 25, 2,800 people on a weekend. Remember when you came to Victory, just a handful, just a few thousand people? It'll be fun to come and to experience God and to see people saved by the hundreds and thousands and to see 20-somethings. How many of you know this room's going to be renovated? 20-somethings filling this room, teenagers filling this room. And thank you so much. The entire $220,000 has been raised to renovate this room as well. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is faithful. I want to pray for you today. Because my hope today is that something sparked inside of you. That if you're in the stands, you're saying, I'm getting out of those stands. I'm getting onto the field. and I'm going to have, to my eternal credit, life change. Amen? Thank you for your faithfulness in the past, but I rejoice for what God's going to do in all of our future. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person that's here and under the sound of my voice. I pray that you would help them. Lord, I pray that we would take seriously inviting somebody on Easter that could come to know you as Savior. That we would take seriously serving at Extravaganza to be an outreach to our community. As so many people who are now in this church came here for an egg hunt. So many that came here lost and undone have been found and restored simply because the door was opened through an egg hunt. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I'm asking you this weekend at Easter, I ask you to give us another 1,000 people in the kingdom and help us to see how important this is. So I pray the blessing of heaven over every person that we get out of the stands and onto the field. His heads remain bowed and eyes closed. If you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you drew your final breath and were to slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say to me, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if I drew my final breath and slipped into an eternity. Would you spend it with or without God? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. Dear one, listen to me. Jesus said there is a heaven, and Jesus said there's a hell. And he died on the altar of that cross so that people like you and me who are sin-stained can have eternal life. He paid the debt I could not pay. So I'd ask you today, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the one who gave his life for you? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath, where would you spend forever? You say, Pastor, I want to know I have eternal life. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. I want to make you know for certain you are not a Christian because you are a member of a church, attend a church, went to receive the sacrament of a church. There is no church that can make you a Christian. No sacrament, no pastor, no priest, no religion. Only Jesus, including this church and this pastor. Only Jesus. Have you ever given your life to the one who gave his life for you? I'm not talking about religion and a weekend religious game to play. I'm talking about coming to a living God who wants to lift you up and lift you on high in everyday life because he loves you. So if you're here today and you'd say, I want to receive the one who died for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. And Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you. He loves you 1,000 times over. He loves you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? Would you please pray for me? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And then we'll pray that prayer together with you. If you're here today and say, include me, Pastor John, would you raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you? Do it right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, young man. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone else, you say, Pastor, include me with those many that raised their hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand one last time, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Christ will come into your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to do it right now with you. We'll all pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. for additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.